Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, Park fans. We're a podcast for theme park fans, and we're here every week talking about things in the theme park world. I'm Vex, this is Kev.
Hi, everyone.
You're back, I haven't seen you for a while.
I know, summertime.
Whole summer off, it's like he was back at school.
I wish it was summer off, it's really not. Working, yeah. Have kids off school, you know. Still going to theme parks and all the fun amusement places like that, so it's all been good. It's all been good. How's yours been?
Oh, like I'm not a lot going on, to be honest. Just a small matter of moving continents, but yeah. Apart from that,
right?
It's summer every day here now, though, so It's absolutely fine. And today we are talking. We're doing a catch up on Universal UK. I'm going to say for now. We will come to that. So, of course, we have our Universal correspondent, Lawrence, from Universally Bedford.
Hello. Hello. Do you know what? As soon as you were introducing me there, my tummy did the most enormous rumble, and I thought, that's a nice way to introduce you.
Well, I didn't hear
lovely
it.
Lovely to be back. Thank you so much. It will come through in the edit. Don't worry.
Great.
Don't worry.
I'll amplify
it. A low rumble.
Listen out for it. Turn the volume up.
I know, you can add that to your bingo card. No, thanks so much for having me back.
No, you're welcome. I mean, it's been a few weeks. I did think the next time we were going to speak to you was going to be when we had the absolute green light, which we are still waiting on, and I don't think we're far away from it. But we did have to get you back on this week because there's just been a lot going on with Universal over the last week. There's been a lot of big announcements, so I wanted to talk about them, and you are the person that we need to talk about them because you're better informed than either me or Kev.
Plugged into the matrix.
You are. And if you haven't heard any of Lawrence's previous episodes, basically he lives a stone's throw from the Universal site. He has a telescope trained in for the slightest movement.
Drone at the ready.
Yeah. Enormous 500-foot periscope. Yeah, I do have a train.
Of course he does.
He's got it all set up ready. Anything happens.
This is an amateur hour. So if anything is going on, Lawrence knows about it. He is local. He is a resident. His ear is to the ground. So first of all, where are we at? Big news this week. A name got registered.
Yes.
Which could be the name for Universal in the UK. Now, we had this discussion on a few episodes back, and we sort of were saying, what do we think it's going to be called?
What were our guesses?
I think we said we were going to call it Universal UK, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, I think we were debating between Universal Studios Great Britain, Universal Studios UK. We didn't think it would be Bedford.
London. We talked about London. Yeah.
I mean, I think we were kind of split, but I think we did kind of hedge on UK because Great Britain is kind of, it's not really a term that you hear very often.
Yeah.
We've got a trademark registration, which is very exciting.
So what is the trademark registration?
What is it? It's Universal United Kingdom Resort. So this is interesting because I think this might not necessarily be the name of the theme park. This might be just that kind of that umbrella term that catches all, that catches the City Walk like destination, entertainment, retail district, the hotel, the theme park, obviously, as well.
Good point,
But the interesting thing that I found beyond just the name, which is it's good to have that, right? Although it's been an absolute nightmare retraining my brain to say that in content. But there are different classes of trademark stuff that you learn. I didn't know this, but there are. So when you register a trademark, you have to say which classes it applies to. So they can apply that trademark to particular things. So there is class 41, which is all about theme parks. It's entertainment and amusement park services, blah, 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 blah. There is also a class 43, which is around hotels. But then there are classes 16, 18, 21, 24, 25, 28. I am reading them. I don't know them off by heart. But they often, they specifically relate to stationery to plush toys to things like that, towels even, and bedclothes. So you've got there a real indication that, you know, this is actually something where they're going to want to print this trademark, Universal United Kingdom Resort, on stuff that you, I'm certain, will be buying in 2031.
You know me so well.
I've never owned a theme park merch towel
or bed set
or bedding.
Oh, I've got countless towels.
What? Okay.
Right, let's change topic now.
What theme park towels have you got?
So, like, you know, if you go to, like, you know, the water parks and stuff, you want to get your, you know, you want to get your Volcano Bay.
Have you just stolen that?
No, it's a real thing. It's like, you know,
they hand them to you as you walk in, and you're like, you go to a hotel.
Those towels, which
Ooh,
are like
free towel. Thank you.
No, those towels, because they're the nice fluffy ones. But the ones that you buy, they're the kind of those souvenir towels, right? They're sort of like printed on one side, and then they're just
cheap.
White on the other.
Cheap but overpriced.
They're cheap to make. Not cheap to buy. Yeah. But we're going to see a lot of, we're going to see a load of merch. So this is mega exciting. And look, this might just be one of many trademarks they might register. Mm-hmm. And at the moment, the current status of this trademark application is in its examination phase, which means basically when you apply for a trademark, it's very antiquated what you have to apply, and then they actually print this in some kind of gazette.
I've heard that, yeah.
And it's kind of like having the banns read before you get married. It's like you've got to kind of publish it, wait 4 weeks to see if anyone kicks off, and then as long as no one kicks off, you're cool. But yeah. I'm not foreseeing any issues with this one.
No, who's going to complain? Universal. Yeah. I think you make a good point about the wording of resort, because if you think about it, Universal Orlando Resort is a thing.
Yeah.
But the theme parks themselves have individual names.
Hmm.
So
they do.
It could be that the actual theme park element of this isn't going to be called that, and it could have a different element to it.
Universal Studios Bedford. No,
it could be.
It could be, but I think you know, we are probably quite likely to see. Hey, look, I say this, but it would actually be a departure from their naming convention to call it Universal Studios UK.
Yeah,
because around the world you have Universal Studios Florida, okay, right? But you have Universal Studios Hollywood. Now that's not even a city, that's a district within Los Angeles. You have Beijing, you have Osaka, and you have Singapore, which is a kind of a weird city-state situation. But typically, they don't relate to the country, the state that they're in. In that regard, they're normally a little bit more local. So watch this space, because I'd imagine we'll get a little bit. Well, I think we'll see some more trademark applications coming in fairly soon.
I suppose if they've got plans to build and extend, like you've got Islands of Adventure, Epic Universe, I suppose eventually there may come a point where they will name this particular park first, and then if they do expand and build, they might come up with something else, I guess.
I would say so. I mean, we know from Universal there's going to be, they have a firm 20-year plan for the resort, and they have a kind of a speculative, this sounds ridiculous, but they have a speculative 100-year plan for the resort. Right. So it's kind of like, you know, they're like, this is where we want to see it in 100 years. And for what it's worth, there is a lot of brownfield site, which is the kind of classification of land that they're building this on. There's a lot of that in that vicinity. So it would not surprise me if we see stuff popping up. But that's decades into the future.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd imagine the theme park will be Universal Studios branded with that kind of whatever some that's
placement
going to be.
What I'm not enjoying is like the shortening of it, like, so it's like UUKR.
I don't love that. If it was Universal Studios UK
US UK,
that would be you sucker.
Yeah.
So
you have to think about these things, don't you?
You do.
They absolutely did. And I was kind of in a WhatsApp with some guys there, and we were saying, yeah, definitely Studios has been omitted because of that acronym.
It doesn't work. Okay, so these trademarks, they're going in. I think there's been a couple of other word trademarks go in over the last few days as well. Where are these all going? If we want to be nosy, where should we be looking?
So if you go to the Intellectual Property Office, you Google that, then you can search. So I'd recommend, actually, if you have your pen handy, you want to search for trademark number UK00004261155. That will get you to the big one. And then if you go over to names and addresses, and then there's a little option that says view owner's other trademarks.
Oh.
And there's four pages of them.
Whoa.
So we've seen Universal Studios actually has been registered as a trademark, but not under the 41 classification. That's really in the merch classification.
Okay.
That was on the 10th of September. And loads of other bits and pieces as well. You will see also some movie trademark registrations in there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, have a good look. Universal Studios Grand Hotel, of course, that was registered a few weeks ago for the hotel. And I believe Wicked was registered as a 41 as well, which was quite interesting. So
is 41, that's the merchandise?
No, that's the theme park.
Oh,
theme park attraction. So
that
Wicked
is
as a 41, and so was Jurassic World Rebirth as well.
Oh. Okay.
So, yeah.
But not Back to the Future.
Are they playing it?
I think Back to the Future, I've got a feeling Back to the Future was, but some time ago. I'm going to have to go and dig that one out. But, I mean, Love Actually, was registered as a 41 in December of 23. So,
how random.
Fingers crossed.
Is that just UK or is that worldwide?
No, these are UK, UK trademarks. Okay. Yeah.
Can you imagine a Love Actually themed dark ride?
Exactly. It would be just
animatronics holding up the signs.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking.
There's a few memorable scenes in there, which
Hugh Grant doing the dance.
Honestly. But no, it's been great, and I've heard kind of more than just rumblings, but the Back to the Future thing is as close to nailed on as we can be at this point. And same goes for Jurassic Park, World, Rebirth, whatever that's going to be. But also Paddington is pretty much nailed down.
You're not so happy. You weren't happy about Paddington, were you?
I'm just not that excited about it, but that being said, the more I've thought about it, I could see it being a really fun, nice, pleasant experience. I think there's going to be quite a modest scaled but highly themed dark ride there. So I think that could be quite nice. I'm warm into it.
The area would be very like London, traditional London centric themed, wouldn't it? They could go to town with that.
Yeah,
really
nice
like
kind of terrace. Crescent Terrace and blah, 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 all of that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Quite an easy one for them.
Honestly, keep your eye on the trademarks website. It's fascinating viewing.
We know where to look. Now, kind of this leads us into the next bit of news, which I don't know where this has come out from, because we had knocked this on the head. This wasn't happening. But all of a sudden, Harry Potter might now be coming to the Universal UK theme park.
Yes. So I think the conversations we've had in the past have been Universal aren't going to be so silly as to announce something that they haven't got the agreement with Warner Brothers for. And we understood that that agreement could be, you know, could take quite a long time to come through. I've always been a firm believer that if they could, they would.
Mm.
But there are so many moving pieces. There's obviously Warner Brothers, but then you've also got J.K. Rowling in the mix as well. There's so much going on with it. So we heard over the weekend just gone that it seems like they've made a breakthrough in those negotiations, which means that the Wizarding World will be coming to the UK theme park, which is it's very, very exciting for a couple of reasons. I think it's great that, you know, ultimately the UK is the home of Harry Potter and the Wizarding World. It makes so much sense. We've got the studio tour here.
Mm.
This is, you know, it makes so much sense. It's great. But also, we know as well from Mark Woodbury, who gave a speech at the a Bank of America conference in the last week, that the majority of attractions that we have here will not be found in North America. So that gives us also another indication that we're going to see something completely new from the Wizarding World here in the UK, which I think is great. Now, there has been a few kind of people who are not so enthusiastic by this news, because one of the other ideas that have been floating around was Lord of the Rings. And mm. I'm not sure if those two IPs can coexist mm. in the same park.
Mm.
I think, although their settings are wildly different, you know, Potter is very much in the, it's very modern. Even if you consider the Fantastic Beasts thing they've got over in Epic, it's still, you know, within the last 100 years. Whereas Lord of the Rings is kind of pure fantasy. So you kind of have that. So I think if they were going to go Hogwarts, I don't think there's any chance of having any Lord of the Rings. If they were going in a different direction, I don't know, maybe. But I do think there is a... there's something in there. There's something in there, which I'm kind of, I don't know. Personally, I'm a little bit disappointed there won't be any Lord of the Rings. But
I think what I was trying to think about with the Lord of the Rings stuff was, what would they possibly do? I guess in my head, the having a themed Lord of the Rings area sounds amazing. But in terms of an attraction itself, it's quite a tricky one to kind of think about.
Yeah,
because it's essentially it is almost, a story. It's a war story. There's lots of battles and stuff, which isn't really something you might throw at a theme park. Whereas, I guess, is Harry Potter a safer option?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a safer option, both kind of in terms of people's tastes and probably commercially as well. Particularly as we'll be right in the midst of HBO's new Potter series when the park opens. So it's not like that franchise is going anywhere. It really, you know, it's here to stay.
And they're building so much interest and excitement about the show as well, aren't they?
Oh,
already.
For sure.
So think when that comes out,
and
Universal will be right in the middle of the series, won't we, when the park opens? So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we'll probably be, you know, somewhere between, you know, years 3 and 4 potentially of the series by that point. But that's being filmed just down at the Warner Brothers lot down in Watford. But I think, you know, if you kind of go through the experiences that we have, we've got Hogsmeade, we've got Hogwarts, we've got Diagon Alley, we've got this Fantastic Beast, we've got the Ministry. Where do you go from there? What is the key and core location that can kind of sit as the foundation of that Wizarding World experience in the UK? I think I mentioned it here before. I'd love to see the Quidditch World Cup. I think that would just be unbelievable. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Well, what do you think we'll see?
The thing is, like, the reason why I think Hagrid's is such a good ride is because it's not anything that you've seen in the things you've seen in the films, but it's kind of its own unique little thing. So I guess there are things you can do, but if you're not able to get to America, let's say you're in a family, you can't afford to maybe fly over to America. You might not get a chance to go to Epic or Islands of Adventure. You're still going to want to see those iconic landmarks still. So it's whether you still have Diagon Alley, the castle, but maybe do a different attraction based, like do an updated version of Forbidden Journey, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard because, like you say, you're limited to only certain locations, aren't you?
I can't really help you with that because I've never read the books or seen the films. I'm one of those people who didn't ever get into the whole Harry Potter hype. Yeah, so I don't know what hasn't been covered, if anything, in terms of a location or anything that's iconic.
There's probably people listening to this, is probably, if you're a big Potter person, you're probably thinking of places right now that we're maybe missing. But I guess that the Ministry of Magic one works really well because, again, it's a unique, place.
Yeah.
I haven't yet been over there. I've avoided watching anything, looking at anything. So when I go there, I can be completely surprised by it all.
Yes. I admire your self-discipline.
It is difficult. literally over the summer, I've had three people I know go to Epic as well and go to Universal. Man. So, and they're telling me all stuff. I'm like, don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
But I think anything where you could be on a broomstick is also a good possibility. Mm. You know, like Hagrid's, but maybe being on a broomstick.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because there was that rumored attraction at Alton Towers we talked about on our Rumours That Never Happened podcast last year. And one of them was where Curse of Alton Manor is when it was dual, was to have like a broomstick style, you know, those motorbike
coasters. Yeah, that would work.
But you're on a broomstick going around the woods where the flume was, sort of thing. And you could do something like that.
Yeah, that could be a Quidditch, like.
Mm,
yeah,
you could do a whole Quidditch kind of thing.
Yeah, maybe.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like a ride system a little bit like they use on Tron. Because there are lots of iconic, look, there's Grimmauld Place again. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Bex, this is a conversation I'm sure you're feeling very involved in. But Grimmauld Place, that could be really interesting. That's Sirius Black's family home. You could
something in the Dark Forest, Forbidden Forest,
or I can't remember what it's called, but where the Malfoys live, that kind of that becomes more of a location as the books and films.
I want something dueling as well, where I get a wand.
You want to
actually be able to interact, not just in the shop window.
Well,
firing spells at stuff. And
you made me think. So I did a video on this particular thing on YouTube, and I was so pleased with the thumbnail because I was just like, oh, what can I write on this? And I just wrote Expecto Bedford, and I was like, yes, I've really kind of channeled the sun right now. I'm there. I've made it. Tabloid heaven.
The thing is, I think you've got to use Harry Potter because we're of a generation that grew up with the books and the films. We're now going to get people grown up with the TV series that might be their thing that they've grown up with.
And maybe that's the theme. Maybe there's something in the TV series that is, maybe they'll change how something looks and they'll lean into that.
That's a great shout. That's a really good point.
That's a good point.
That is something that absolutely could be the case, because we do know that, as far as I've heard, there are going to be some differences between the TV series and the movies in terms of how things appear and how things are laid out, because they're laid out in a particular way in the movie. And interestingly, the bridge between the two is actually the Harry Potter Hogwarts Legacy game that came out a few years ago. So a lot of the TV show is going to use the game version of Hogwarts as its kind of as its blueprint, which is very, very interesting stuff. But it'll be fascinating to see how it evolves. Knowing Universal, we won't probably find out anything concrete about this until 2030, I guess.
Because with Star Wars in America, when they did Galaxy's Edge, they focused it mainly on the sequel trilogy, didn't they? They didn't, you know, they didn't try to go back to the originals. They said, okay, what's current and new? So it's the sequels. So obviously Rise of the Resistance is all based on the sequel trilogy. So there's no Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, anything like that. It's kind of left to one side almost. So you could find that, like you say, with the new TV series, that's the kind of, that's the focus point.
Yeah,
is going to be on that.
That's a great shout. And actually, Galaxy's Edge, you know, the I forget what the area is called officially, but or the planets. Yeah, that's
Back 2, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't exist anywhere else but in the theme park world, which is kind of, you know, it's quite brave. But again, we might see something like that, which I wouldn't be averse to. I love the idea of a bit of bravery and these, you know, Universal trying to do something a little bit different, a little bit risky maybe. But I think there'll be some significant rewards for that. People just will want a taste of something completely unique and new.
It's the same with Epic, isn't it? By doing Fantastic Beasts. Obviously, the Ministry of Magic is all set how we picture it and see it in the films and the books.
Yeah.
And that is not a cute line. That is something else. I mean, that is Universal showing off you've seen the queue line.
But the
whole walkthrough where you're in France in like the 1920s,
that is
a whole unique thing. I'd never seen, you know, you don't see that in the 7 books, you know, and the films, so apart from Fantastic Beasts. So again, I think they were quite brave at Epic to do that location, because it's not really a recognizable one, is it?
No.
Until you get to the Ministry of Magic bit where you go through the flu network and all that kind of stuff.
And I would say, as someone who's never seen the films, read the books, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, any of them, I could still appreciate those themed areas for just being incredibly well done themed areas, even without knowledge of the films. And I think that's what you'll get from Universal as well. It doesn't really matter if you know it or not. You will go, you will walk into it and you'll be like, wow, they've done this so well. So certainly interesting. This definitely came out of the blue. I wasn't expecting for us to be talking about this. Certainly
not
at this
right
stage,
now. No. I was expecting something along these lines. I was about kind of like, you know, maybe 70-80% sure, but I didn't expect it to be, I didn't expect them to wrap it or get this close to finally sorting it out this soon.
Do we know where that sort of leak came from? That
it's all very shady. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Somebody told somebody.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those kind of a mate of a mate of a mate. But no, I mean, it's found its way into a lot of the newspapers. So nothing is certain. And I think, you know, this is the important thing to remember. Nothing is going to be for sure until you walk through those gates in 2031. Because, you know, when Universal are going to be very, very good at keeping things under wraps. And to be honest, as much as, you know, we love kind of talking about it and all the rest of it, as you say, Kev, you know, you want a bit of that magic, that surprise when you walk through those arches. So we'll have good general ideas, but some of those details are going to be, you know, revealed to us probably very close to the date, if not on the opening day.
And it keeps us all guessing. It gives us something to talk about when this little stuff gets drip fed. And let's not forget, these leaks to the newspapers came before the announcement, the official announcement that this was going ahead. So when we do see something like this leaked into a newspaper, there probably is a decent amount of truth behind it.
Most certainly. It's not coming from nowhere. No smoke without fire and all
that. So the final bit of news for this last couple of weeks, very excitingly, I mean, we've saved the best till last, to be honest.
You have.
Riveting.
It's about, it could be a fly in the ointment, and some people have leapt on this as like, there you go, it's not going to happen. We are, meanwhile, keeping the faith. And this is all about the water supply.
Oh, yeah.
Lawrence hasn't bathed for like 3 weeks.
I haven't.
He's conserving it.
Able to. I've not been able to just the general concept of Universal has done enough to drain all the water from my pipes. No, I mean it's not a euphemism. Awful. So
oh God. Sorry, how do we go on from here? Right.
So no water, right?
No water. Right. So look, the Sunday Times reported this weekend just gone that Universal is no longer going to happen. Why? Because Anglian Water have been doing a family-friendly version. Very bad job of looking after, you know, the water supply, the sewage, everything. I mean, this is a company that we all hear about Thames Water because it's London, they're in the capital. But Anglian Water, they are, you know, they're doing their best to kind of, you know, reach those heights. they get the, you know, they get the similar fines for dumping raw sewage and doing all of that kind of stuff. So this thing, it's not going to happen because when Universal's built, it's going to take too much water. So what they're saying is basically that I won't be able to pour myself a cup of water or bath or anything when this thing is built because there'll be, you know, I don't know, what filling fountains. I don't know. The whole thing is an absolute nonsense. But what is good about this, and we have seen similar articles about, well, will Universal happen because the trains are a mess? Will Universal happen because the roads are awful? Will Universal happen because Luton Airport is busy or some flights were cancelled? And you just think, well, yeah. All this is highlighting to me is that we got to get our act together.
Mm.
And when I say we, it's kind of like a very loose royal we, because it's not me personally. It's these.
Well, I mean, you might have to.
I might have to just ration my water. But no, I mean, like this is one of these things where a newspaper has, they've kind of got two news stories here. They've got Anglian Water getting fined because they're useless. And they've got Universal building a theme park in the same area. And where they're kind of thinking, oh, I've got nothing to talk about, what could rage bait loads of people into a conversation and engagement online, which is great for our ad revenue? Let's put the two things together. Let's say that this bad thing that the water board are doing is going to stop them from getting the nice thing that Universal are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work like that. It's not going to happen like that. You know, we know that Universal... because I'm, you know, and if you are interested, you can watch all of the deep dives on my YouTube videos. But I've been looking at all of the planning documents, of which there are 10,000 pages. 10,000 pages. And there is an entire document about water management, right? About how they're going to be having efficient uses of water. They're not going to have excess wastage of water. Everything is going to be so finely tuned because they are after this LEED gold certification that they have at some of their other parks, which is basically like a environmental certification. Is this a risk for Universal? Absolutely not. But it is a real big wake-up call to not just the water board in this instance, but it's also a wake-up call to the railways, to the highways agency, to all of these people that really... Now, Universal have said they're going to spend probably £5 billion on this resort, that those other agencies are also going to have to not match, but they're going to have to come to the table with some of their solutions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not all on Universal. We know that Universal have got deep pockets, and we know the small matter of a water supply probably isn't insurmountable, especially if you've got deep pockets. And we also know, like you say, everyone likes a bit of a bad news story, clickbaity. Oh, this thing that you're all excited about might not happen. But yeah, I think reassuring as a local resident that you think this has been taken into consideration in those planning documents, and this is probably all a bit of a drama over nothing. There will be a workaround.
It is. It's a storm in a teacup. It really is. I think, you know, nothing in the article is false, but genuinely, this is not going to derail this project.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, this, I think we forget this project is both figuratively and actually in the national interest. This is such an important thing for this country. Even if you don't like theme parks, even if you don't like the idea of going, if you think the whole thing is grotesque because you don't like it, right? This is still super important for this country because, you know, for, I know, let me do the maths. 17 years, we have not had decent economic growth in this country since the 2008 economic crash. It's been poor. We've been able to fluff the numbers by moving the interest rates around and all the rest of it. But really, it's not been good. This is a once in a generation opportunity to actually change something. This is like one of those sliding doors moments that if you take advantage of it, not just people who like theme parks get a nice place to visit, but everyone benefits. I might end up with a better water supply because of this. I will certainly end up with better rail connections and better options if I go to Luton Airport and far better road infrastructure, because this is happening and the government is not going to let this fail.
Yeah.
It cannot afford to, and this country cannot afford to. So it needs to happen, and I'm on my soapbox, and I know I am, but it really is that important.
No, well, you've said it. So Lawrence has said it. It's going to happen. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to get on with it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it now.
just talking about the actual where we're up to then in terms of this getting the official green light. So the last time we spoke, we went into the consultation process where anyone who had an opinion on it could read through the documents, submit what they thought, if they had praise for it or worries or concerns. Yep. All goes in, goes to the government, and the government decide if they're going to basically issue them the special development order, which means they can bypass a load of lower level planning things.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting to hear if they are going to accept that special development order, aren't we?
We are. And because we were in that consultation period, we actually weren't able to hear from Universal during that time. I went to a few kind of local council meetings just to kind of get a feel for how people were feeling about it and all the rest of it. And there were some people that don't want this. And I think it's fair to kind of say that those people are there. And of course, their opinions are valid. And that's that's fine. And they were kind of saying, well, why aren't we hearing from Universal? Why aren't Universal here? And the reason is legally, they aren't able to be. They can't speak during that consultation period. They present their documents. Then it's over to the public to have their say.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did hear one thing at the close of that consultation period, which was that in the short few months that Universal, because Universal have actually been advertising jobs for the resort, and they have been inviting local suppliers to reach out to furnish that resort with supplies. They've had 20,000 local applicants to jobs.
Whoa.
And they've had 2,000 local businesses apply to be on their supplier list. So we know that there's a lot of local support. There's a few noisy people. And as I said, totally valid. And I'm not going to criticize them for just having an opinion.
Yeah.
But lots of support. When will we find out, though? That's the question, right? When are we going to find out when this is definitely big tick, all going ahead? I have a feeling it will be within the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Ooh.
Hmm.
Close.
And I think there's a couple of kind of pressures on that. So I think they're not going to want it to be too soon after the consultation period ended at the end of August, because they want it to at least, they want to show that this is being considered, all the feedback's being aggregated and analyzed, right? So it's not going to be like, oh, thanks very much, thanks for having your say, we're doing it. They're gonna you know, they've got to kind of wait a little bit of time. But we also have economic event in terms of the budget that's going to be next month or so. But we also have some pressure on from Universal. Mark Woodbury, the CEO, did say this last week, he wants to be kicking off on this as soon as possible, because at the moment, pending any delays, they're still on track for a 2031 opening. Okay, if the Universal are going to want to make that date, because any delay is a delay of the, you know, it's a year of lost income for them. So they want to kickstart this as soon as possible. Construction work, particularly the groundworks that they're doing, moving earth, digging earth, all of that stuff, it's a lot harder when the ground's frozen. So they're going to want to kick off on that pretty quick. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's pressure from Universal to say, make it sooner. The government will want it to probably drop around or just before the budget, because understandably, that's probably going to be laced with some bad news. So it's good to kind of balance that out with a bit of good.
Yeah.
So I would expect next 3-4 weeks, you know, hold on to your hats, because
hold on to your lap bars.
Yes. Gonna be interesting.
It's gonna be wild. Yeah.
Well, that is exciting. I mean, and obviously when that happens, when it happens, we will get you back and we'll have another little chat, because we can have a little party celebratory episode.
Absolutely.
That we're actually going to get a brand new world-class theme park being built in the UK, which...
And do you think we'll get new concept art as well? Do you think they'll redo bits of it if they give a green light and they've had a few changing things? Do you think they'll have done an updated concept art? Is that a possibility? Or do you think we'll have to just hold on to that one for now and just keep staring at it zoomed in?
Yeah, I hadn't considered it.
You know, the next year.
I don't know. I mean, they might surprise us. My original feeling was that we'd probably get something a little bit more concrete, maybe the tail end of next year, maybe even 2027. You kind of look at their timelines for other developments. That's kind of how they've tended to work. But I certainly would not be complaining if we got something sooner.
No, not at all. We do like to have something to zoom in on. For now, we will keep focused on the Intellectual Property Office website, looking for those trademarks. Yeah. And of course, wait to hear what is going on off the back of this special development order consultation. Mm. That's the next big thing. So we will hopefully find out, like, if you're right in the next few weeks, and we'll reconvene and chat then. All we know is, as theme park fans, theme park nerds, this is a very, very exciting time for us in the UK. So it's about to get even more exciting. Lawrence, thank you so much for coming on again, and of course sharing your knowledge. You are the most knowledgeable person about this project that I know, so we're very grateful.
You're welcome. Actually, can I mention something very quickly? Because I've had this passion project for the last kind of couple of months, because I've been fascinated by how we actually got to this point, how we actually got to the point that Universal were going to build a theme park in Bedford. So I've actually kind of been putting together this little documentary, and it's going to be live on my YouTube on Saturday the 13th of September at 10 a.m. I honestly, it's a fantastic little excursion through history. Got some Back to the Future vibes in there, but it's 110 years condensed into 25-30 minutes. But it's the whole thing is just completely nuts. So if you're interested in it,
love it,
then check it out.
I wouldn't expect anything less from you. The man who, every time we record these podcasts, by the way, is surrounded by rabbits. you may not see them or hear them, but they are there.
I've kicked them out today, actually. I can see them chewing through all my plants outside.
Love it. Okay, well, that's exciting, and I do love a YouTube theme park documentary, so thank you for giving me something to watch on Saturday night, and you should definitely check that out as well. Look, we'll be back here very soon. If you haven't already, subscribe to us so that you never miss an episode. We're going to be following this project all the way through, and of course having lots of chat about other theme park stuff as well in the meantime. For now though, we've been Parkcast.
The UK's original theme park podcast.